Let the church say amen this morning. God has been good to us, like I always say once again. And I'm glad I can say He's been good once again, because that means all of you who hear me are still here, as well as myself who's speaking this. So God has been good to us. Everybody ought to just be thankful to God for every day that He gives you in this life. And as I like to say, there are more days in front of, behind most of us than there are left in front of us. So be thankful to God that you have this time. This morning the scripture was read for your hearing from the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And he read for you from verses 17 through 20, and I'll reread them. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment. This morning, for a little while, we're going to talk about riches and righteousness from that chapter of Proverbs 8. I want to say before we get too far along, I want to remind everybody, if I may, for Wednesday night Bible class. We're looking to see you on Wednesday night. We're still in Bible class. It is not over, and we need to see you out here with us on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're only here for 1 hour. That's 60 minutes, two 30-minute periods, if you will. And just come on out and kind of be a part of the Wednesday night Bible class before it wraps up. Brother Burnside is doing a fine job, and you need to come out and be a part of the Bible class with us on Wednesday night. With that said, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name, O Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for blessing us to see another day and another period in which we can come out and serve thee in spirit and truth. We thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, that you have lengthened out our lives and given us this opportunity. We pray and thank you for the church here on Stony Island, the Stony Island Church of Christ. We thank you for the leaders who are in charge of the congregation, and we pray for their families as well. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father, for their understanding and giving them the strength to lead us. And Father, we pray that they continue to lead us in the way which is right. We pray, O Heavenly Father, and thank you for each and every member who's here this morning. We pray and ask that if it be your will, O Lord, that you would continue to strengthen them and their families as well. We thank you this morning, Father, for we have many who are sick among us, and we just pray for them. We know that you already know who they are, and we just pray that your will shall be done in their lives. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, and we just pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would give them strength to carry on. We thank you, Father, for the love of your Son Jesus, who went to the cross on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that we are here and able to serve him in the church that he bought for us through his own blood, with his own blood, O Lord. Thank you this morning for everything that you do for us, Father, and we are praying that you continue to bless each and every one of us here this morning as we move on into the next portion of our service. Be with those who lead our world, that they may not make any rules that would harm us or hurt us from serving thee in spirit and in truth, or worshiping thee in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father, for everything you do for us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray and ask these blessings as we move on into the next portion of our services. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, and let us all say amen. Many folk today have a desire to be rich. I bet I could ask that question and none of you would say no. Many of you have a desire to be rich, just like I would have a desire to be rich. Some want to be both rich and famous. Some want money and the power it brings. Some want to be rich in popularity. Some want the ability to travel from one side of the world to the other. Others say, just give me enough money and I'll decide to do whatever I want to do with it. Bible students know that Jesus has already warned us not to lay up, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, he tells us not to lay up treasure on this earth, for they shall not last. Moth and rust will destroy them, or thieves will steal it. Christians, on the other hand, know that the riches and the righteousness that God offers us will last forever. As we look into the Word of God this morning, in today's text, it shows us that both these riches and treasures of righteousness belong to God. But when we look at this matter a little closer, we ought to be so eternally grateful for God and what He has done already for us. One such riches that we have been offered is everlasting life. Jesus offers unto us something that no amount of riches, no matter how popular one may become, no matter who you are friends with, nothing but the Word of God's Word is able to deliver us everlasting life. In John chapter 11 in the verses number 26, listen to Jesus and what He says. He says, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." Then Jesus gave us an added measure of assurance. He said, "Believest thou this? Believe this. Believest thou this?" Now all of us as human beings are made up of body and soul. Those are the two components that are in all of us. One day we shall take this old physical body of ours shall be taken away and we'll no longer be in the physical realm of this life. And it shall go to an earthly grave. We shall be buried. Then there shall be no doubt in our hearts that the Lord is able to deliver us because on His promise. These old bodies all go back to the dust from where they came from. And our souls shall return to God who gave it according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7. God is going to take back what belongs to Him. But I just love the text of Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 10 because it puts life in perspective for all of us. It talks about our lives and where they are going. It says the days of our lives are 70. That means 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80, which is 80 years, yes, there is strength and labor, for it is soon cut off. Strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Our lives are toil and trouble. And yes, because of sin, we must someday depart this life. But this part is the good part, church. If you live to be 70 years of old, and God grants to us by reason of strength to get 80, that's part of the richness of God. And I ought to be happy to say, thank you, Lord, for giving us Your everlasting riches. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but when a person reaches age 70, that person should, he or she should know the Lord by then. But I know there are many who don't know the Lord even at age 70. There are some folk who don't get it even though they've reached their end point, perhaps, of their lives. They still don't get it. When you get 70 years of age and you don't get it, you need to go back and try to perhaps start at the beginning. You can't live your life over, but you can at least meet God before it's everlastingly too late. And isn't it ironic, church, when you think about it and you begin to realize that how good God has been to you, but you wasted so much of your life. That must be a real serious thought in some people's mind. I've waited all of this time before I met God, but I'll tell you something. It's never too late to meet God. As long as there's the blood is flowing in your veins, it's never too late to meet God. But Job said, it was Job who said he knew that God was real. He said, "For I'm old and I know that my Savior lives." There's nothing like age to bring most people to their senses. They realize I can't walk as fast as I used to. That second wind that used to come to me now doesn't come like it used to. And in my case, church, I'm just so grateful to have that first wind. I don't know about some of you, but when you think about crossing a busy street like Stony Island, and you get out there in the middle and you realize, I can't run across this street like I used to. You've got to understand, church, you've got to be very careful when you're out there and you're crossing the street or you're walking through this life. You've got to learn to be careful and you've got to ask for God's guidance. You never leave home without the Lord. That's the motto you ought to take with you everywhere you go. Don't leave home without Him. I'm grateful when I get that first wind these days, and I'm so happy, church, that God is still giving me the wind of life. And I know some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. So the rest of us ought to be in prayer that God will give us time to come to realize that He has everlasting life in store for us if we just live a righteous life. If you think about it, church, and you look at this matter, look at the big picture, God is awfully good to us. And some folk would say, well, God isn't doing anything for me more than I could do for myself. Oh, how wrong you are. How wrong you are. There's no reason, there's no logical reason in the world that you got up this morning other than the fact that God raised you up. Woke you up and then raised you up. Then, I love that text once again of Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 10 where it talks about the years of our lives. And you've heard me say it before, but if you live to be age 70, that's a little bit over 25,000 days, and those days equate to the years of your life. And what did you do with your 25,000 plus days of your life? How did you use those 25,000 days? 25,500 to be exact. How did you use them? Do you think about sometimes how so many of my days have passed and I don't know what I did with them? If I asked you what you did with the days of your life back when you was age 20, most of you may not even remember. But I think about those days of our lives and those days that equate to the years of our lives. And I began to wonder from time to time just how God has been so good to me when I haven't been quite as good to myself, or neither have I been as good to Him as He's been to me. God's riches and righteousness presents to us an unbroken relationship. Christians have a relationship with God, which when we become obedient to His will, we become His children. And as children, He becomes our Father. In the book of Hebrews, we are told this, that what the Lord said, that is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, what does this mean to us? It means that if we stay obedient, do His will, we shall have God's presence in our lives. And at death, and for all eternity, when it comes to leaving, that word brings to mind separation, departure, or absence. But isn't it a rich and rewarding thought to know that He has said, I will never leave thee? If it comes to leaving, guess who leaves? Not God. Every time I think of someone leaving, my mind turns to the text in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. He took leave of everything that had become familiar to him. His life, his family, his home, and his stability. Yet at the same time, I have to admire this young man, this young son. Because once his substance was gone, his material riches, if you will, were gone. After he had hit rock bottom, after he realized that no man was going to give him anything, he remembered his father. Church, when the world does not help you, God still can. He can fix broken hearts. Oh, what a chain of events life leads us through. He can fix broken hearts. He can fix and disperse disappointments. He can mend broken dreams. He can feed us when we don't have nothing to eat. When this young man found himself in the pig pen eating out of the pig's food, when we have the wasted smell of feed for the pig, we can remember God and how good He is unto us. And we can always remember to go back to our Father. Above all, this young man realized that he was still a son. Have we become so far from God that we seem to have lost our way? God is still in the same place He's always been. The question becomes, where are you? What place have you moved to, or where are you at? God is still right where He's always been. Some of us have left the shores of security and gone with the winds of the world. But if I may suggest to you, it's time to come back home. When the world tells us that the right way to go is with them, and you learn to realize that if that's against the righteousness of God, don't follow them. Allow your heart to lead you to what Paul called in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Today's scripture tells us, lets us know that riches and honor, and this speaks of wisdom, church. I may as well, it speaks wisdom and riches and honor belong to God, and God is free to give us the wisdom that we need. And if we need wisdom, the Bible tells us to ask of God who gives it to us. Riches and honor shall far outlast that of the world. Hey, look at verse number 19, if you will. It says, for my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. The wisdom that God can give us is much better than any of those things. And I know some will say, well, you can't spend wisdom. But when wisdom speaks, the rest of us ought to take time to listen. When wisdom speaks, we must learn to accept that wisdom speaks above us if we don't have any wisdom. God has everything that we need to enrich our lives. Gold and silver in time will lose its value, but the riches of God will never be less than what God meant for it to be. 100 years from now, the Word of God will still be the same, though most of us probably won't be here. But years and years from now, the Word of God will still be the Word of God. If you don't want to lose the riches and the righteousness of God, you need to come back to God if you walked away from God. And some of us like to talk all the time about how good God is to us, but we don't like to show it. We don't like to display our works for God. We like to say that He's good, but we don't like to show that He's good. When you have been as far as you can go in your life, when you have done as much as you can do in your life, then you have to at some point allow God to take over your life. When you can't go any further, God can step in and take over for you. And I know that in this life, there's all kind of toils and troubles in this life. There's all kind of things that can waylay us and push us out of the path that we're on. And I like to tell folk that you can't win the race if you don't participate in the race. And life is a race, but to serve God is another component of that race. You have to ask God to be with you. Every time you leave home, you have to ask God to go with you. Every time you walk down these mean streets, you have to ask God to go with you. Every time you get in your car, you have to ask God to go with you. Be on the street with you. Be in that car with you, that you may survive the trip that you are making. Not only that, but God offers hope that never fails. Hope shall never fail, or shall never fade, if you will, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. To it, hope shall never fail or fail, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Our inheritance, this inheritance that we have, is reserved in the safest of all places in heaven. The very word incorruptible and an inheritance should catch the ear of all believers and non-believers as well. Incorruptible means that it's unchangeable. Incorruptible means that man can't go in and corrupt it the way he likes to corrupt things. Inheritance leaves the notion that something may be coming my way. Heaven is the inheritance of the children of God. In Romans chapter 8 and the verses number 17, the Bible says, if children then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer with Christ, we may be also glorified with Christ. Hope will get us through, church. Hope is what is the kind of, somebody may say, well, what kind of hope, preacher? What am I hoping for? Well, you're hoping for the same blessed hope that's mentioned in Titus 2 and verse 13. Lively hope or living hope in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Because Jesus is resurrected and because God's abundant mercy. Hope that one of these days when this all is all over, we need to know that there is something better for us. So we live with the hope in God. So when you go back to the text and you look up at verse number 20, look at verse number 20. I lead the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment. And when you ask yourself this question, church, it kind of brings things home to you. If I don't serve the Lord, whom am I serving? If I don't serve the Lord, to whom am I serving? If I don't serve the Lord, what am I doing with my life? If I don't serve the Lord, then where am I going? What hope do I have? This hope that we need is the hope that will get us from earth to glory. Isn't that right, church? The psalmist said in Psalms chapter 71 and verse number 5, Thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. Proverbs 10 and verse number 28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. And Joel 3 and 16, the Lord will be the hope of His people. But I like this part, church. In Romans chapter 8 and verses number 24, the Bible says we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? I think that we as people, you've heard people say that I'm a visual person. That means they need to see things. But if you got to see God, to believe in God, where is your hope? I'm glad that I can't see God. I can just trust in God and I can trust His Word. I can trust in the Bible. And I know there are those naysayers who say, well, the Bible was probably, and it was written by men. Well, that's so very true. The Bible was written by men. But it was written by inspired men. We kind of touched on it this morning in Bible class. The inspired Word of God means it's God breathing and that it's for inspiration. And God doesn't put anything hasn't put anything in His Bible that'll do anything but help us. And there are those who would ask the Lord, are you sure, Lord, that's what you really meant? Are you sure that's the way you want me to do things? How come I can't do it my way? Well, that's why we do have the Bible. We have the Bible so we can know the right way to go. Now, I can stand up here and I can try my best to teach you all day long if I could. And still, if you don't have the Bible in your life, what do you have? If you don't have hope in your life, what do you have? If you don't have the Lord in your life, what do you have? Riches and righteousness are of God, and we've got to learn to understand that when we get these riches and this righteousness, we are to live a righteous life, and we will be blessed in the richness of heaven and the richness of God. Thank God, church, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Thank God that God is able to deliver what He promised. We don't need to see God to have faith. We don't need to see God to trust in Him. You just wear your helmet of, which is the hope of salvation. Hope is what we are in need of, church. The Bible gives us hope. The Lord gives us hope. And when you think about it, when you look deeper and further into your own life, you have to decide where you stand at with God. I can't make that calling nor make that decision for you. You must decide on your own where you stand with God. And if you're standing a guilty distance from God's throne, you need to ask God to bring you closer to His throne. Ask God to allow you to get back from where you've been, just like that prodigal son. When he remembered, when he realized where he was at and what was going on, he had to go back to his father. The righteousness and the riches of God, they all above all, we all need to seek wisdom. And once you seek wisdom, you will learn to know about the riches and the righteousness of God. Look at verse number 18. It says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. That word durable means that it'll last. It's going to be there forever. And sometimes when I'm just kind of in my mode of thinking out to myself and listening to the voice of reasoning in my mind, I ask myself some questions sometimes. And sometimes I wonder if the answer to these questions that I'm asking, if I can find that answer in the Bible. And the answer to that question is yes. Anything that you want to know about, it's in God's Word. And I know what we say sometimes. I know we say, I wonder if God really meant for it to be the way it is now. Well, see, God didn't always put things the way they were. God has put in the Bible the way of righteousness. And if we go the opposite way, is that God doing that or is that us? I think that's us, church. So when you think about it, again, in verse number 21, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance and I will fill their treasure. When you think about it, church, when God, you realize how good God has been to you, you realize just where you're at in your life, you realize that God is good to us, and you realize that there is nothing better and no one better than God, then you have to ask yourself this question, church. You have to ask yourself the question, do I continue to serve God or do I walk away from God? And most of us with any kind of sense will realize that you just don't walk away from the Lord. Now, I know that there are many of you who like sports, especially the men. You like sports, and I know that it's football season, and basketball season is coming up on us real close. But I want to tell you something. When your favorite team doesn't win the game, you ask yourself this question, or you second-guess the team, the quarterback or the coach in basketball, whatever the sport is. You begin to second-guess, why didn't he do this or why didn't he do that? And you said, we would have won if he had did this and had done that. Well, you can allow that same kind of thought process to take place in the heart that you serve God with. Had I not done this, and if I had listened to what the Word of God says, I would have been much better off. But see, you can't apply your logic as you use your logic in sport to consider the Word of God. You've got to do what the Bible says. If you want to have God's riches and righteousness, you've got to do it His way, not second guess and try to do it your way. And then, when it comes to living this life, when it comes to living life, God has laid out a plan for us on how to live this life. And we need to follow it. We need to follow it. Don't change horses in the middle of the stream, as they used to say. Don't change horses in the middle of the stream. When you have met God and you become a child of God, you want to stay there. You want to stay with God. And why, somebody may ask the question. Somebody may say, well, why do I want to stay with God? Because there's no other way to get out of this world and get to heaven but through God. There's no other way that you can get to heaven without God. Your goodness and your righteousness is not enough. It must be through the goodness and the righteousness of God that you get to heaven. And I know, I truly believe that there is a heaven. Because the Bible tells me that there is a heaven. The Bible tells me that that's the household of Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. They live there. So I know there is a heaven. And I'll tell you a couple of good things about it. I'm glad they live there. Because that gives me an opportunity to try to make it there. That gives me an opportunity because I have two choices. And I must make one of those two choices. I'm either going to follow my own logic and go to hell, or I'm going to follow God's wisdom and His righteousness and go to heaven, get myself in a position to go to heaven. The Bible tells us that there's a way that seems righteous unto man, but the end thereof is death. What is that death? Well, that death is where you don't live with God anymore. And when you think about it, church, when you put it all together, when you look at this picture as a whole, you ask yourself another question. You ask yourself this question. You ask yourself, if God is right, then that means I must be wrong. Because if God said it one way and I said it another way, I must be the wrong party, not God. So this morning, as we bring this message to a close, we ask you the question once again. Are you serving the Lord in righteousness and riches? Are you accepting His riches and righteousness? Or are you living on your own life? Now, when I think about it just a little bit further, I'm almost done. I got a minute or two. But when I think about it just a little bit closer and a little bit more in depth, I think about how really good God has been to us. I think about yesterday. I'll give you a perfect example. Yesterday, I went to a buffet. And I ate more than I knew I wanted to eat because it was there. I ate it because I figured I had paid for it, so I may as well eat it. But I ate too much. Now, was that God's fault or was that my fault? That was my fault. I like Spanish food. I like Mexican food. And I happened to go to a Mexican buffet, so I thought I was supposed to try to eat some of everything that was there. That wasn't God's righteousness. That was me making that decision. And I thought about it after I started feeling bad. I said, you ate too much. And God didn't lead you. I said my prayers before I ate my food, but nevertheless, God didn't tell me to keep going back. So we have to learn to decide if it's God or if it's me. And if it's me, I shouldn't follow me all the time unless I've consulted God on the matter. If I haven't consulted with God on the matter, then it's probably my way and not God's way. And when I look at that whole big picture, I think to myself, if I go again, I'm not going to eat like that, even though it's all out there. I can't eat it all. So all I'm saying is this. You have to decide who you're going to follow. If it's your own wisdom is not the same wisdom as that of God. If you're going to follow your wisdom, then you're pushing God to the side and said, Lord, I can do this better than you. And even though these riches and righteousness belong to you, you have given me the ability to make a choice in the matter. And I'm going to choose my way over your way. But thank God, on last night I slept and slumbered. I probably put on a few inches, but I slept and slumbered and I woke up this morning. So I'm thankful to God that I woke up this morning. And I promise you I'm not going to do that again. So how do we become close to God? How do we become a part of the body of Christ? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And if you've already done that somewhere back in your life, but you've went astray, you need to come back home. Just like that prodigal son came back home. He realized that he was out there all by himself. And if you have left God, you are out there all by yourself. And you need to come back home. When you wake up and come to the realization that God is where you need to be, you come back to your Father. And when you come back to your Father, first thing you do is you ask Him to give you strength to carry on. You ask Him for His blessing. Then you come forward in the church. Stand up here. Tell the church I need your prayers. And let them know that the prayers that I need are to help me get stronger, not to help me become weaker. If you don't like me, don't pray for me. Because you're not going to pray the prayer that I need you to pray anyhow. I'm so glad that happened to him. I'm not going to pray for him. Then don't. You don't say it, but that's what you do if you don't like me. But nevertheless, if you want to do it the right way, you come forward and ask the church to help you to pray to get through whatever you're going through. And I know there's some stuff that we go through. Oh yes, there's some stuff that we all go through. Everybody has got something on their plate. Some of our plates are overloaded like I overloaded my plate. Some of us need to take some of it off of our plate. Give it over to God and ask the church to help you to live a righteous life. Help you to deal with what's right and do the right thing. So when you do these things, you can ask God to be accepted back in your life. And you can do this right now as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.